Hey, we're going to also have our Lord's Supper. This Sunday is going to be a little different. What I'm asking you to do is to bring a couple of saltine crackers with you, enough for your family, and then bring some juice, some grape juice with you. We're not allowed to be touching the food and stuff and passing it out to you here on the premises and stuff during this time. And so we need you to bring those items with you. Bring a couple of saltine crackers. And then also bring a couple, some grape juice and a couple of cups with you so that you can partake in the Lord's Supper as we'll lead it next Sunday. If you understand that, beep your horn. All right. Also remember to invite people on, from your Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, everything you've got to be here with us next Sunday morning. The next Sunday morning will also be our end gathering for Lottie Moon Easter offering. We moved it from last Sunday to next Sunday. We will take that love offering. So next Sunday, you're going to have two envelopes in your packet. One to be for your regular offering, one to be for the love offering for Lottie Moon. So I want to just remind you of that and make sure you know what next Sunday is all about. Then let me run quickly through what's in your packet of information that you've gotten. You've got your offering, tithing offering. You've got your first three songs on the first six pages or so that are there. First four songs, excuse me, on the first seven pages. Page number eight on the back of it is The Servant's Heart is our sermon this morning. And then you'll find a devotional packet for this week for you to do with your family. Parents, I'm asking you, and I'm telling you, parents, you need to really do this with your family this week. This is an opportunity for you to invest in your children, in your family as a whole. Now, if you got children that are a little older like mine, you need to let them have a day to teach during this time. It'd be an opportunity for them to study it and then to teach it, for you to be involved in this, and for you as a family to sit and talk, enjoy the devotion. It's very good by Billy Graham and the Billy Graham Evangelism Association. There is also on our website another devotional. It's a much longer devotional. It's a very good one put out by Anderson University. And so I want to encourage you to go on our website, and you'll be able to find that. It should be on, I believe, on our Facebook and also on our church app. You can print that off of the website. It's about 30 pages. It takes you a devotion every single day, walks you through what all Jesus has gone through during this week that we call Holy Week, that we start today till next Sunday to his death and his resurrection. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that, get involved with that with your family. Take this week and really pour into your family the Word of God as you are studying through what Jesus went through. It's probably one of the busiest weeks in Jesus' ministry that we see this week. And what a hard, tough week it really truly was for Jesus, culminating in his death and in his resurrection for us. We're going to pray and we're going to jump right on in. So join with me this morning. Father God, we just humbly bow before you, Lord. We thank you and praise you this morning, Lord. We love you today. Father, I pray that you would move mightily today as we look into your word, as we sing praises unto you. May you be honored today, and may you fill this parking lot and this community with your very presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, we're going to got your songs. We're going to begin with Days of Elijah. And I do want to remind you that as we're preaching, as we're doing something, if you agree with it, you are welcome to blow your horn and tribute to say amen. If you'd like to do that, you're welcome to do that. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Miss Tracy.
All right. Good morning, everyone. So glad to be here with my church family this morning. We find a way. Amen. God is good. God's already been good to you this morning, hasn't he? Oh, I like that. I like that. Yes. Before we get started with our singing, is somebody holding up a sign that says amen? Amen, sister. We're going to lead a little quick song of happy birthday this morning, and you're going to have to sing loud so that Mr. Sam Osborne hears you. Today is his birthday. I won't tell you what number, but we're going to do a quick sing of that. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you, Sam. Happy birthday to you. Amen. Amen. Woohoo! All right, all right. Let's sing. These these are the days.
These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voices desert crying, preparing the way of the Lord. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's nearer to believe, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. These are the days of Ezekiel, the dry bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest, the fields of harvest light in your word.
There's no God like Jehovah. 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 Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, He comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, so lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
Amen. Amen. All right. We're going to go right on into our offertory.
Help was on the way.
good. God brings all things together for His good. I can't wait to see it. Amen.
Troubles of this life come by, and burdens get you down. You think no one is listening, you think no one's around. Just remember what His Word says, trust Him.
At this time, we're going to take our offering. So let's pray, and I'm going to let the men come around. Father God, we just thank you and we praise you this morning. Lord, we ask your hands to be upon us. Father, bless this offering to the ministry of your body. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that you'll use it in a mighty way. Father, there's so many opportunities we have right now, Lord. And I do ask you to be with Miracle Hill, Lord. Lord, for all the money that's been donated, all the food that's been brought, Lord, I thank you so much for the faithfulness of your people in such a desperate time and a crisis, Lord. Father, I know many of them are hurting themselves, Lord, during this time, Lord, with issues with work and other things going on. But, Father, so faithful, Lord, to you to meet needs right here in our own community. Thank you for that. Father, use this offering in a mighty way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
right. Can you hear me? Okay. I wanted to make sure everybody heard this quick announcement just coming from me. Not a church thing. You don't have to do it. But I got to thinking that next Sunday, of course, is Easter. And what do we remember about when you were growing up? When you was just a little girl, Mama would take you shopping a couple of weeks before Easter, get your Easter dress. I hear Mother talking all the time about how my grandmother would take her to JCPenney's downtown, back when it was downtown Greenville, JCPenney's with the wood floors, and she'd get a dress and the shoes and the gloves and the hat. So next Sunday, I want you to get up. God willing, if we're here again doing drive-in church, I want you to get up. I want you to put on your makeup, girls, and put you on a pretty dress. Even if it's not a new one, dress up. Dress up. We're coming to see the Lord. We're coming every Sunday to see the Lord, but let's honor him next Sunday. If you want to now, wear a dress. If not, come in your blue jeans. That's okay, too. We'll still worship God. All right. Join when we sing. This is How Great Is Our God. And we can't but sing this song this morning. Amen.
All right. Here we go.
The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. Trembles at his voice.
Oh, how great.
How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Age to age.
with me how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great is our God.
We're going to slow it down just a little bit now before we head on into the message. We haven't done this one in quite a while, but we pulled it back out because it's good any time, but it is a good Easter song for us to sing. So you'll pick it back up, I know. Join us as we sing.
Jesus.
beautiful song that we just sung. I'm so thankful that God loves us with all of his heart. This morning, I want you to take your Bible with me to John chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5 this morning. Today, we begin what we call Holy Week. This is a week right before Jesus is crucified and ends with his crucifixion. His death, his burial, and his crucifixion. This week was an extremely busy week for Jesus as we look into the scriptures. As you go through what all he did and all the things he was involved in during this week, what a very busy week it was for Jesus. Take your hand out with me. Follow along with me this morning as we go. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God, and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Wow. This is one of the most powerful passages in the Bible to me. We really begin to see the true heart of Jesus, and it's shown right here in this passage. Jesus was a humble servant who came to set us free from the bondage of sin and bring salvation to all who would turn to him. Jesus would not allow anything to stop him from doing what he was supposed to do. Even there in the Garden of Gethsemane, as he's praying, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But then he says, Lord, whatever your will may be, Father, you make it happen. He prayed for God's will even in the midst of that battle that he was in the middle of. Jesus would not allow anything to stop him, no matter how painful it was for him. This morning, I want to walk you through these five verses for just a few moments. And I want to point some things out to you this morning about Jesus and about what me and you should have in our lives and what we should be doing with our time that God has allowed us to have. So look at verse number 1 with me again. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father. So Jesus knew time was short. He knew his ministry here on earth was coming to an end. Time was drawing near for him to make that last sacrificial gift that needed to be made for all mankind. Jesus knew he was entering probably the most stressful time of his life. And we can see that when we go to the Garden of Gethsemane. As he prays there in the Garden of Gethsemane 3 different times, Father, let this cup pass, but your will be done. That humble servant that Jesus truly was. Jesus knew he was about to suffer. He knew he was about to be beaten and battered. He knew he was about to be bruised for our sin and our iniquities. He knew he was about to give his life and die on the cross to save all who would turn to Jesus Christ and turn to him. We are in an unprecedented time here in America right now. The coronavirus is killing people every day. Time is short. We must humble ourselves and show the love and compassion of Jesus Christ for the hurting that are around us. Many in our world right now, they're hurting, they're seeking, they're looking for answers. I've even heard those who don't proclaim Jesus, those who say there is no God. I've even heard many of them on TV saying, what's happening? What's going on? Where can we get real answers from? God is putting inside the hearts of people who do not know Jesus Christ right now a desire to seek him, a desire to try to find out what is going on. And we have the answer they're searching for. And we must, as God's children, reach out to them and share Jesus Christ with them. Can I ask you, church family, what are you doing right now to reach out to someone who doesn't know Jesus Christ? What are you doing right now to be the difference in someone's life that changes their life forever, for eternity, and draws them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that one day they shall be in heaven with you, there at the very feet of Jesus, worshiping a holy and almighty God one day? What are we doing? What are we doing to reach them? Verse 1 finishes up by saying, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them until the end. Jesus loved them. I want you to understand this morning that Jesus loved his disciples. All who needed him, Jesus loves them today. Jesus has done everything he could to redeem all people to God Almighty. He has loved, his love and his compassion for us, they have driven Jesus to the cross to die for me and you today. They have driven him to the cross that he may love us with an unending love that changes everything in our lives today. Do we love people like Jesus loved others? Do you love others like Jesus did? Let's make it personal this morning for me and you. What about that person who's been mean to us? What about that person that we don't like? What about that person who's done us wrong? What are you doing today? Have you humbled yourself enough to do what you have to do to reach that person for Jesus Christ? Have you humbled yourself this morning, even though they've hurt you, knowing they've done you wrong? Have you humbled yourself because you know Jesus loves them anyway? Do you love your neighbor? Jesus told us everyone is our neighbor. There was a story of the Good Samaritan. He tells us that we are to love those, even when they're different from us, even when they're enemies of ours. We are to love them. Remember the Good Samaritan? The Samaritan people were not a good group of people in this day. They were half-breeds. They were outcasts in essence. The Jews did not like them. They didn't love them. They didn't care about them. They walked all the way around, a long way to go around Samaria, so they didn't have to go through there. But in this moment, Jesus uses the hated of the hated to the Jews to bring the point that all people are our neighbors, that all people are in need of the love of Jesus Christ, that we as God's children should be sharing the love of Christ no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, or no matter where they've been. Verse number 2, and supper being ended, the devil having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Thirdly, I want you to see Jesus knew his enemy. Jesus knew who his enemy was. Jesus knew Satan was about to strike through one of his own disciples, Judas. Here Judas is eating dinner with the Lord. He's eating dinner here in his home with him. He's being here with Jesus Christ. Jesus is about to humble himself and wash Judas's feet in an act of love, in an act of affection to Judas. And the whole time, knowing Judas had already allowed Satan to enter into him, that now Judas was going to betray Jesus, Jesus still humbles himself before Judas, kneels before him and bows before his feet and washes his feet, even though he knows Judas is going to betray him. I truly believe in this moment Jesus is still trying to give Judas one more opportunity to forsake what Satan wants him to do and to do what Jesus needs him to do as his disciple. But Judas didn't care. Judas didn't want to do that. Judas' whole heart and whole decision was that he was going to betray Jesus in this moment. It's time for us to know who our enemy is today in America. Many have no idea in America today that they are fighting against a real enemy. Satan is the real enemy, and we are in a serious battle with him every single day. It's a spiritual battle every day for souls and hearts and lives of those who don't know Jesus Christ. He is doing his best to steal, kill, destroy, and devastate lives every single day. That is what he does. That is his purpose, in essence, right now. His job is to take as many to hell with him as he can. Can I tell you, Satan's doing a great job. As Christians, our job is to redeem and to grab and to pull as many out of hell to Jesus Christ as we can, so they may come to a saving knowledge of him before it's everlasting too late. And can I tell you, as Christians, we're doing a very poor job at our job. When only 2% who claim to be evangelical Christians will ever share their faith with somebody else, we are doing a poor job at reaching people for Jesus Christ. 98% who claim to be Christians, evangelical Christians, will never share their faith with anybody. How horrible is it for us as Christians to not do what Jesus has asked us to do? Verse number 4 and 5, look at that with me. He rises from supper and laid aside his garment and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wash them with the towel wherewith he girded. Fourthly, Jesus here is a humble servant. The custom in this day was when a person entered into your home, there was always a lowest of the low servant. It was there at the door to wash their feet before they entered into the home. Remember, they had walked in the dust and the dirt and animal waste and human waste there as they've walked down the streets. Their feet were nasty. They were filthy. They were stinking. And the Jewish people did not want that nastiness and filthiness brought into their homes. So they always had the lowest of the low servant at the door. As they would, before they would walk in, they would clean both of their feet off, up to about their knee area, clean it all off, and then that person would enter into their home. Jewish servants would not wash their master's feet. They were not made to wash their neighbor, their master's feet. That was the job of the lowest of the low servant. That was the job of the Gentile servant. The Gentile servants, they were the lowest of the low. They were the slaves of the servants. As that disciples would enter into that home and no one was there to wash their feet, in this day and age, this was a very big breach of hospitality in that day. As you entered into someone's home, they would wash their feet as a sign and a term of love and affection to you. That how much they loved you, they would wash their feet right there in that moment for you. Many times this was used for husbands and wives and children to their parents as a sign of endearment, as a sign of how much they loved their parents and their family. Jesus here sees the need of his disciples. He sees the need that's in their life. Their feet are not washed. That they're sitting there dirty and filthy. And what does Jesus do? Jesus here humbles himself to the lowest of the low servant. He humbles himself to the slave of a servant in essence. And Jesus in this moment humbles himself so greatly in front of his people. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, humbles himself before his disciples. And he washes their feet in that moment. I truly believe it was a term for Jesus of love and affection for even Judas in this moment. He did it for all 12 of his disciples to show them how much he loved them, to show the example for them of what we should be in the days to come for him. To show us what we are supposed to be as God's children. Servants to a holy and almighty God. Servants to those who don't know Christ. Servants to those who do know Christ. Servants of a holy God that works for him to meet needs in the lives of others. And I'm so thankful for so many of you who have brought money and food today for Miracle Hill. What a blessing it is. For these children who have been turned in from foster homes who now no longer have a home to be in. But now we're facing being back in Miracle Hill's custody for now. Some of these children may never be fostered out again because of their age. And I can only imagine what they're feeling today. I can only imagine how their hearts are breaking this morning. As many of them were in a loving home. They were with people who loved them and cared about them. And now they've been taken back and now there's nobody there but just some workers who were doing a job in many cases with them. Can you imagine the brokenness that's in their heart? Today, many of you have been those humble servants for Almighty God to help us meet a need that is so desperate in the life of children today. Thank you so much for being the hands and feet of Almighty God. Thank you for being the hands and feet of Jesus Christ this morning. Jesus was that humble servant to his men. He loved his disciples because he knew they were going to be the ones used to bring about a revolution in our world that would change lives today for Jesus Christ. And I can only imagine as he was sitting there bowed over washing Judas's feet, knowing that Judas was about to betray him, knowing what all was about to come in Jesus' life because of Judas' betrayal. And as Jesus washed his feet, I can only imagine tears running down Jesus' face. As his heart is broken over one of his disciples who is about to betray him, and he knows it. And here Jesus is doing a term of affection and love to his disciple as he washes his feet. And knowing the whole time that Judas was the one that was going to betray him. Can you imagine? Wow, what a humble servant do we see in Jesus Christ. What an example we see that Jesus gives to me and you of how we are supposed to be that humble servant also for him. We're to be servants who love others, that show that compassion, mercy, and love of Almighty God to others. We're that person who is supposed to show that salvation of Jesus Christ, the joy and the peace we have in him in these times of crisis that others who are lost without him need to see. Fifthly, Jesus seized the day. Jesus took the opportunity that he had, even in that moment, to show love to his disciples, even in such a busy time that he was in during that week. Jesus didn't waste his time. He didn't waste any time. He redeemed every moment that he had. Parents, teenagers, can I tell you right now, God has opened up more time for me and you to be with our families than we've ever had in our lives, it seemed like. Many of us have been working out many hours every week. Many of us have been off with friends. But now God is putting us in an area where we have to spend time with those that we say we love. What are you doing to redeem that time with them? Are you playing games with them? Are you eating meals with them? Are you spending time with them? Are you going and doing something with them around your home? Are you going outside and playing with them? What are you doing today to redeem the time like Jesus did? Today is the day that we need to seize the day that Jesus has given to us. I believe that God can use bad situations and crisis to turn it out for our good. Romans 8:28 tells us that. I believe that this coronavirus could be the greatest opportunities for Christians that we've ever had to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in a time when people are searching and seeking and looking for answers today. I believe God wants to do something so awesome and so big that he wants to bring about a complete change in our culture, in our society, in our world today. I believe God wants to begin a great awakening to bring the lost to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. And he wants to use us as God's children to be the lighthouse to reach them. But I also believe God wants to bring about a great revival in those that are saved, those that are Christians today. To rekindle that consuming fire of Almighty God that's inside us, to revive us in him. To revive us in that light of Jesus, that we may be the lighthouse and example for him that we need to be. This coronavirus, I believe, is a call for Christians to become the greatest servants of Jesus Christ that we've ever been. People are seeking and searching for answers, and we have the tremendous opportunity to reach people with the very gospel of Jesus Christ today. I want you to know the enemy is real. Satan is alive and doing all he can do to destroy and devour, to steal and kill lives today. Satan is working overtime to deceive the lost of their need spiritually for Jesus Christ and blind them today. Time is short and we are not guaranteed of tomorrow. The Bible says today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. Today is. We have to be sharing Jesus and sharing Jesus with everyone we come in contact with. You say, but Shane, I'm not supposed to get very close to people. Well, you've got email, you got Facebook, you got Twitter, you got all these different avenues of social media right now that you are able to use, and people have nothing else to do but sit on Facebook all day long and see it. Are you using it as a tool and an instrument for God to reach somebody for Jesus Christ? Or, in other words, are you using it for filth to come out of your mouth? I was reading a post last night from someone who's supposed to be a child of God, a Christian, and the words that he used made my heart break because of the filth that was coming out of his mouth. And the first thing I thought is, here's a child of God who is being ashamed of Jesus Christ, who is bringing a bad light upon the name of Christ, and is telling everybody out there who thinks they're a saved child of God that God's not worth them or their time to be a child of God for him. What an embarrassment it is by the way we use our mouth and our language and stuff we post on social media today. We ought to redeem this time and use it to bring glory to Almighty God. We ought to use it that others may know Jesus. People are dying all around us. Statistics tell us that 87 people a second die worldwide. 87 people a second. That's 57 million people a year die worldwide. Can I tell you? It's time for Christians to get on the job today and to start being the lighthouse for others that they may come to know Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. Time is short. They don't have tomorrow. What are you doing today to reach them for Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late? We must seize that day. We don't have much longer. Jesus may be coming back today. He may come back tomorrow. He may come back next year. He may come back in 100 years. But we don't know. We need to share today and seize the moment we have today to share Jesus Christ. But we've got to love people like Jesus loved people. If we don't love people like Jesus loved people, we'll never share Jesus Christ with other people. We'll never let them know how much Jesus loves them. Easter is coming. The greatest week of the year for Christians. This week is all about the life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. What will you do this week to share Jesus with someone else? What will you do this week to love somebody enough to tell them about Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late? I put a question on your paper I want you to see this morning. Will you be a servant for Jesus and tell others about him? This morning, will you love others that much that you will humble yourself before them and you will share Jesus Christ as a humble servant of Almighty God? You will share Jesus to a dying and hurting world today who is searching for answers and who needs Jesus to save and change their life. Time is short. Will you seize the day and the time that Jesus has given us? I'm going to ask you to bow your head this morning, right where you are. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe for the first time you realize how much Jesus loves you. Maybe in the past you've said, you know, Jesus couldn't love me, Shane. You don't know what I've done in my past. Can I tell you? Jesus knew what Judas was about to do and he still loved Judas. He still washed Judas's feet, knowing Judas was about to betray him and start in place the moments that were about to come that led to his death. Maybe today, for the first time, you realize that Jesus Christ loves you. And maybe for the first time, you realize Jesus Christ died and gave his life for you on Calvary to save you of your sins. Maybe this morning, for the first time, you would like to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to save you. I'm going to pray a simple prayer, and if you want to mean business with Jesus, if you mean business with God, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer in your heart, to pray it to yourself and to mean it with all of your heart this morning. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. That means I know I've done things that are wrong, Father. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart this morning and save me. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart today and saving me. Help me now to live as I should live for you each and every day for the rest of my life. Help me to be the lighthouse and example for you today that this world needs to see. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name I pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed, just for one moment. If I ask you this morning, I'm going to simply ask you to raise your hand. I may see your hand, I may not, but I'm going to ask you at the end of the service, if you just come to me, if you prayed this prayer for one moment, if I ask you, raise your hand. All right? If you prayed that prayer, please come see me right after the service. Secondly, this morning, maybe you're that child of God who's saved. Maybe your words and maybe your things you're posting on social media is not bringing honor and glory to God. Maybe the words you're using are bringing God down because everybody thinks you're a Christian, but you're not acting like it with your social media. Maybe this morning, as a child of God, you're not using the time Jesus has given you to reach someone else for Christ. I'm going to pray a simple prayer this morning. I'm going to ask you if you want to say, Jesus, I want to be what you want me to be. I want to rededicate today to be the child of God you've called me to be, to redeem the time that you've given me to share Jesus. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer silently to yourself. Dear Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you that I know I'm your child, Lord, and nothing can take me out of your hands. But, Father, I pray today, Lord, that you would help me to be the child of God you called me to be. Father, I pray you'd help me to no longer to post filth on the social media, to no longer be in stuff that I shouldn't be involved in as a child of God. But, Father, for me to redeem the time, for me to be the servant of Almighty God you've called me to be, for me to be the man or woman of God that helps change a world for Jesus Christ through the power of Jesus. Through what Jesus has done on the cross for all men. Father, help me to be that lighthouse for you. Lord, help me today to recommit my life and everything in my life to you, that I would serve you wholeheartedly in the days to come. In Jesus' name I pray. To every head bowed, every eye closed for one more moment. If you prayed that prayer, I'm just going to simply ask you to raise your hand, that you want to be more what God wants you to be in the days to come. I see those hands. Any others? I see those hands. I see those hands all over the parking lot this morning. It's time for us to redeem the time. It's time for us to be what God's called us to be. Father, as we close this service, Lord, I pray that your hands be upon us. Father, strengthen us in the days to come. Lord, help us to be the men and women of God you've called us to be. Father, help us to do what you need us to do in these coming days to reach others for Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. Father, may we redeem the time. May we reach others for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me remind you, I put in your packet a devotional. It covers each day from the day till next Saturday. Do that with your family this week. I've also on our website, Pelham will be putting up, hopefully this afternoon, another devotional. It's more in-depth. It's longer. It's just fantastic for each day of this week. Go to our website, print it off, use it with your family, encourage your family to serve God this week and to reach others for Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for being here today. I love each of you. If you need me, please let me know. God bless you. You're dismissed.